Tonight's sermon comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20, our text is verses 15 through 30, and we will read that, we'll read section by section when we get to the three main points of the sermon. Second Chronicles 20, it'll be 15 to 30. Let's first pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship we've had together. We thank you for the imagery that we've seen in these songs and hymns, the way it can encourage us to walk by faith and not by sight, to battle on for you in this world. And we pray we may take encouragement from the example of Jehoshaphat in this portion of scripture tonight, and our hope truly resting in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone said that God's tendency is to make our total inability his starting point. God's tendency is to make our total inability his starting point. And so it was for King Jehoshaphat and for the people of Judah. Three neighboring nations, Moab, Ammon, and Edom, were allied against Judah. Maybe individually Judah would have had a chance, but collectively it was overwhelming. At least that's the intelligence that Jehoshaphat was getting in the capital. So the situation seems very bleak, pathetic. Not only were there nations allied together against him, we may say in a way destruction, doom, and death were also allied together and seemed to be approaching Jerusalem from the southeast. Now, Jehoshaphat, like his father Asa, when he was in a time of great need, you can see that in chapter 14, he called the people together to pray. And that's the beginning of the chapter before our text. And one of the expressions that comes at the end of this, of his prayer, is, "We are powerless and we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you." Job says, with God are wisdom and might. So for the God who saves those who are powerless, he has the power. And for those who are clueless, he has his wisdom. Our God is an awesome God with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Jehoshaphat could have said with the psalmist, "You are the God of my salvation, for I wait all the day long." Now, you may find yourself in your own circumstance that seems hopeless, seems impossible. You may say, like I've heard a lady at work say this week, "I just can't." Now, she was talking about a misbehaving dog, but you have bigger problems than that. But there is a God who saves. And Jehoshaphat is for us in these verses an example of faith, but certainly he is not the object of faith. So we're called tonight in these verses to stand firm and see God's salvation. Now, I'd like to suggest that we see that in three points. First, we stand firm because God has spoken. God speaks. Second, in the passage, we stand firm because God saves. And then lastly, keeping the alliteration, although maybe it's not perfect, but to stand firm because God supplies. And that's the end. So first, stand firm for God speaks. Jehoshaphat has the people together. They've been fasting. He has his prayer that's recorded in the opening verses. The people are just standing with him. And then from the company, Jehaziel, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. His lineage is given to us in verse 14, and we hear his words in verse 15. Let's hear God's word. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Stand firm, for God speaks. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel, which by looking at his family lineage, we would think him to be more among the worshipers or leaders of worship or singers in the temple as his family line goes back to Asa. But here he is, a prophet, with the words of God's salvation, good news for a doomed people. The words of Jehaziel are certainly in the spirit of Zephaniah. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. Now Jehaziel, the prophet, we'll describe him as a burning and a shining light. But for all his brevity, there's lots of repetition, which is probably helpful for a distracted sort of people. And he has God's message, beginning with, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be disheartened." Now, to stand firm, to hold one's ground. Now, we could think how fear could affect our feet, right? Shuffling around nervously, pacing around trying to get an idea, or even retreating when we are intimidated or fearful. But to stand firm is to have the calmness and confidence in God who has promised. We may say, "Fear not." The skeptic may say, "Why not?" Well, Jehaziel gives the answer. The second thing that's repeated is, "The battle is not yours, but God's." And then the second time, when he says it, he says, "You will not have to fight in this battle." Now, Knoebels has many exciting rides. And one of them is the stratosphere, you know, the tower ride. It takes you up in the air, nearly 150 feet, I think they say. And it's nice and smooth and calm going up, right? And the coming down's a little faster as they drop you in a little free fall. Now, I've ridden that ride. It's very exciting and thrilling. But there's even times where I might be watching nieces or nephews on it, or even I'm way far away in the park and I see that thing going up. And something happens to my hands, and the soles of my feet start to tingle. And I begin to feel a little bit of anxiety. Now, why should I? That ride's not mine. It's somebody else. Now, if you're on the ride, yeah, you have right to be nervous. But if you're on the ground, what are you getting nervous about? Well, for the people of Israel, the battle, you don't need to be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's. People of Israel, you mind your own battle, as it were. You don't need to fight. This is God's battle. He is going to take care of it. Now, in David's case, when he said the battle is the Lord's, he's still, whatever you do with a stone, sling it, you slinged a stone or slung a stone or whatever, slanged a stone. But he sent a stone from one place to the other. He still had to do that, and we don't know what's going to happen here yet. Well, stand firm. Now, something else that the prophet said that repeats it is, "The Lord will be with you." Now, we see that at the very end of the verse. Now, the ESV in the middle of verse 17 says, "on your behalf," and other translations use that, but also there are other translations that say, "see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." Now, we don't need to figure that out. God only needs to say it once for it to be true, to be sure. But the Lord's with you. Now, they had their mighty men with them. They would have Jehoshaphat with them. They would have all the strength that Judah could muster. But Unless the Lord went with them, there would be no success. I find in this prophecy of Jehaziel kind of an interesting blend. There's all sorts of like terminology that makes you think they're really going out to battle. Well, they were going to go out. You hear this kind of military intelligence. Here's their approach. They're coming to the ascent of Ziz. Here is where you're going to find them, and here's how you're going to approach. Kind of a military directive. Two times over. Tomorrow, go down against them. Tomorrow, go down against them. And then words that seem like military valor. Stand firm. Hold your position. But the blend is, with all this terminology, salvation is of the Lord. It's not stand and fight. It's not stand and resist. It's stand, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord. You will not fight. The Lord will fight alone in this battle, and He alone will save in this battle. And to these words, Jehoshaphat worships, his people follow him in worship, and then from those that are bowing down, some of the Levites stand up and praise the Lord. Stand firm. God has spoken. All they had were promises. And many times we sing and praise, don't we? Not by sight, not because they heard the enemy was turning away. They sang with faith in God's word. Well, second, let's advance to the second point and second section, and to stand firm, for God saves. Verses 20 to 24. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire, as they went before the army, and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde. And behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. Stand firm. There is a God who saves. So we're advanced to the next day after Jehaziel's prophet, and they rose early in the morning. And I couldn't help on this Father's Day thinking about what my dad might say or think. If you want to see God work, you better get up early in the morning. Now, let's not make that a rule, because God works 24 hours, of course. But Jehoshaphat encourages them to faith. They're gathered together. He tells them, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." So Jehoshaphat has no new prophetic word. We're not told, as it were, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But he could declare, he's a believer, and he wants his people to believe in the Lord, to find their stability, to believe his prophets, and they will have success. Now, if you're not a Christian here today, we have no new, like, special revelation of our own to give unto you. We have no new unique word to speak in your situation, but we can say, in the spirit of Jehoshaphat and the Apostle Paul, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. We are but messengers of another message. We are encouraging others to believe in the Lord. Hope and salvation is found in Christ alone, and Jehoshaphat is encouraging his people unto faith. And that is our work in this world as well, encouraging others to believe in the Lord, believe his prophets, and you will succeed. Well, he encouraged them to faith, and Next, there is this evidence of faith. After taking counsel, he appoints singers who are in the attire, it appears, of the temple, and that they are to go before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Well, I think of Jehoshaphat as having his own Hebrews 11 kind of entry, right? By faith, Jehoshaphat. What did it look like for Jehoshaphat to have faith? Well, by faith, Jehoshaphat, maybe upon hearing the word of the Lord, set singers before his army and went out against a mighty host. Now, I hear the World Cup's going on. That's important. Now, I imagine the next time the United States played, if we would put out starters from the United States Army Band, give them 15 minutes to play, you can decide whether they're playing their instruments or they're playing soccer. I don't know. I think the result's still going to be pretty bad, right? Here is Jehoshaphat putting at the very beginning of his company those who would sing to the Lord. Well, they weren't going to have to fight. What other conclusion should they come to? They're not going to have to fight. We can put singers that will praise God's name. So they take Psalm 136, which seems to be the chronicler's favorite psalm, and they sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Their song was not the sword of the Lord and of Jehoshaphat too. It was, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." It was not a sword in one hand and their psalter in the other. No, they went out in their holy attire singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Here they sang by faith and not by sight. Stand firm, there is a God who saves. And Jehoshaphat encourages us to believe in that God and to sing his praises, to show forth our faith in him. Well, we come now to the end of the enemies. When they begin to sing, verse 22, the Lord acted on behalf of Judah. The Lord would save his people from the enemy that came against them. He set an ambush against them. Some think that that was angels came amidst the enemy forces and threw them into confusion. I don't think it has to be that, but some suggest that. But the Lord could have used the ambush of their own confused minds, their own jealousy or hatred, stirred one first, Moab and Ammon against the Edomites from Mount Seir, and then later this, well, I think after, you know, the Edomites are off the scene, the scripture has an unusual way to put it. They all helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, all they had to do was stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. There was salvation through judgment. The death of the enemy was the salvation of God's people. And the salvation was done by God alone. There was no one that would be telling stories. Well, they would tell stories, but it would not be of their own valor in battle. They could tell of the singers, but there would be no hero stories among the people of Israel. God alone was this hero. And this picture, as others in the Old Testament, point us to a God who saves by himself, who does his holy salvation, accomplishes salvation in the work of himself. Now, salvation through judgment is found in many places of Scripture, and it's certainly found in the life and death of Jesus Christ. You know, the Son of God came down from heaven to be a Savior to those that were lost, to people like me and people like you. And the Son of God, when he came down, he was surrounded by his enemy, a coalition of people had allied together against him. Psalm 2 talks about it. And Acts 4, they prayed about it. Herod, Pontius Pilate, the people of the Gentiles and the people of Israel assembled against Christ. Like Jehoshaphat did, the Lord went to prayer in this matter. The Son of God went to prayer and prayed fervently. In that hour of trial, he was basically left alone. The ones who were praying were sleeping, and then when they finally were surrounded, then one thought the battle was against flesh and blood, and he took out his sword and managed only an ear. And then the Lord is in his time of trial and judgment, and well, there's people that are with him. They can't do anything, or one may deny him. So here is the Son of God, as it were, treading the winepress of God's wrath and doing it alone. But contrary to what happened to Jehoshaphat and his forces, it was not all the enemies of Christ that had gathered around him that were suddenly dead in the streets of Jerusalem. It was the Son of God who died. And he himself died for our sins and in our place, the just for the unjust to bring us to God. But he would have the victory, and salvation would be given to all those that believe. Because he did triumph, and triumph mightily through his death and resurrection. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He triumphed in the most unusual way, his cross and then the empty tomb. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. There's a place in Isaiah. I'm having to look to it because I didn't remember to write it down. There's something like the Lord says, I looked for someone to intercede, and I didn't find anyone. So my own arm worked salvation. That's your homework to find that. But no, I couldn't find anyone to intercede, so my own arm worked salvation. We stand firm because God speaks and God saves, and it is his work alone. But lastly, we stand firm for God supplies. Let's continue the reading from 25 to 30. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil with so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berekah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Berekah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Stand firm, for God supplies. God's salvation is more than just the removal of the immediate threat. It's more than just preserving their life. The people could have went back and praised God if the enemies had heard some rumors of, you know, the Egyptians coming in and helping out the Israel, and all the enemies would have went home. God could have saved in that way. But he saved in a way of abundance and riches and grace beyond really just they were that the people of Israel were alive. There's material things, the 3 days worth of things to carry away, which reminds readers of another echo of the Exodus in this passage. The first one, maybe stand still and see the salvation of the Lord spoken at the Red Sea, and here the deliverance from Egypt. They plundered the Egyptians. Now this plundering, the plundering of the Egyptians seems far more voluntary than this plundering here, but there is plundering nevertheless. Then they had praise and joy, for the material things did not turn them away from the worship to God. God had done it, and a place of remembrance is set up. A place of praise is set up. I think you may have places like that in your own life. Here is where God worked. Here is where I saw an answer to prayer. Here is where I praise God. What else could they do? They had no stains on their sword, no new wounds to show when they got back, no signs of a struggle. God's work was done alone. Well, the praise and joy of the field is united together in the temple. And then beyond that, the fear of the Lord spreads to the neighboring nations, and they are at peace and rest. Now, isn't this true for God's salvation, that no one who comes to Christ as a new convert truly understands all that is afforded to them in Christ? We may say and do say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Saved is one thing. There's more than that. And we could add another thing, and there's more than that. You're adopted into His family. You have peace with God. You're justified. You're adopted into His family. We could keep saying, there's more than that. There's more than that. The exceeding riches of His grace, more than we could ask or think. Or as the songwriter said, which I think is a good word for life, and I think it could be sung throughout eternity, I am finding out the greatness of Thy loving heart. Stand firm, brothers and sisters, in the Lord. God has spoken. Sometimes all we have are His promises. Stand on those. God saves. Stand on His salvation, which you have seen and known and experienced in your own heart, and join with Jehoshaphat in encouraging faith in the life of others. And stand firm and rejoice in all the abundance of God's supply. Stand firm, God supplies. Let us give praise to the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great salvation. And we know for many we have come to You and by faith received Your free gift of eternal life. You've spared us from eternal judgment and hell. But there's more beyond that. There's the life we have with You in the Spirit, and the life we shall have in Your presence when faith is turned to sight. Encourage us as we walk and war in this world. For Jesus' sake, amen.